Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with God Claims Israel, as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Shall we turn in our Bibles at this time to the 16th chapter of Ezekiel, the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 16. Ezekiel declares, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations." So God is speaking out against Jerusalem, but of course a city is always made up of inhabitants. A city as itself is not good or evil. It all depends on what the people are that live within that city. So it is against those who are inhabiting Jerusalem that God speaks and say, "Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is in the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother a Hittite. Now before the children of Israel came to dwell in the land, the first inhabitants of the land of Palestine were the Hittites and then also the Amorites." And so Jerusalem, or first of all, rather the Amorites, followed by the Hittites, "but thy father was an Amorite, thy mother a Hittite," referring to the nations that inhabited the land prior to the coming in of Abraham. "And as for thy nativity, in the day in which you were born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all." Evidently, in those days, when a child was born, of course, the first thing you do is you wash the child. And then, evidently, they salted the child. This, no doubt, would be to kill bacteria, because salt is a tremendous antiseptic as far as killing bacteria. We were out in a group that were exploring for the Lost Virgin Guadalupe mine, and we were blasting away some boulders, and one of the fellows that was with us, working with us, got hit by a piece of rock that had cut off from the boulder when we were blasting it out, and cut his hand. And the old miner that was with us reached in and got out a little pack of salt and poured it all over. Of course, the guy winced like everything. But he said, "I never go out without my bag of salt." He said, it's, you know, the great antiseptic, and it'll cause it to heal faster, and it'll keep it from any infection from setting up. And so they, no doubt in those days, salted the baby as an antiseptic to kill the bacteria that might be upon the child. So speaks about salting it and then swaddling it, wrapping it up in these blanket kind of thing to swaddle the baby. But when Jerusalem was born, none of this was done. The umbilical cord was not cut. You were not washed in water. You were not salted nor swaddled. "No, I pitied you to do any of these things to you, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day when thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." So God is saying that you were an outcast, and there was no one to care for you, but I came by and I saw you polluted there in your blood, and I said unto you, live. Now, verse 6, interestingly enough, from old times, was used as a verse to stop hemorrhaging or stop the flow of blood. It is a verse that people have used for years. When someone is bleeding, to stop the bleeding, they would quote this verse. Now, I don't think the verse does it, but their faith to believe that God is going to do it does stop the bleeding. But people for years have used this almost as a charm kind of a thing to stop bleeding. But of course, it's out of context. God is talking about when he first saw the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem, called them unto himself. I have caused thee then to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased. You've become great. You've become an excellent ornament. Your breasts are fashioned and your hair is grown, whereas you were naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And so I spread my blanket over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and you became mine. So as the nation developed, the time came for love, and God came to the nation to receive the love. Entered into a covenant, married them in that sense, entering into that covenant relationship where God claimed them as his own, as his bride. And I washed thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. And I anointed thee with oil. And I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger's skins. And I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. And I decked thee also with ornaments. I put bracelets upon thy hands, a chain on thy neck. I put a jewel in thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon your head. And thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, embroidered work. And thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful. And thou didst prosper into a kingdom, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I put upon thee, saith the Lord. Now, God speaks of his work for the nation Israel, and that work of God's Spirit in making them great, making them beautiful, making them desirable, perfect in beauty. Now, this is all a foreshadowing of the relationship of Jesus Christ to his church. How that when the Lord first came to us, we were polluted because of our sins. As Paul writes in Ephesians 2, "And you hath he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins. Who in times past you walked according to the course of this world." The word walk there is meandered, which means you were walking without any purpose or direction. You were meandering through life. Your life was aimless before the Lord met you. As you meandered according to the course of this world, the word course comes from the Greek word weather vane. Whichever way the world was flowing, that's the way you were going. Flowing in that way of the world, you know, just the fashions of the world. And you were, by nature, Paul said, the children of wrath, because you were obeying the lust of your flesh, the lust of your mind. And thus we were when Christ came, but he washed us. Now ye are clean, Jesus said, through the words that I have spoken unto you. The washing of the regeneration of the Word of God. The washing of our lives through the blood of Jesus Christ. I washed you from your pollution. And then the Lord said, I anointed thee with oil. And so he anointed our life with the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord goes on to declare, I clothe thee with broidered work. Not just throwing an old gunny sack at you and saying, you know, dress up. Broidered work speaks of care. It speaks of skill. And so God took so much care and so much skill to clothe us with the righteousness which is of Jesus Christ through faith. I shod thee with badger skins, or I gave you shoes of badger skins. Now the badger of the scripture, what that Hebrew word is today, we don't know. The King James translators guessed badger. But it was a soft leather that was usually dyed purple and was the favorite of the young girls for their slippers. And they were, because soft leather, they were worn for parties and for luxuries, really not for hard labor or hard work out in the fields. Sandals were more the dress for that, but these were luxurious leather slippers. And I girded thee about with fine linen. In Revelation 19, verse 6, he speaks about, and the bride hath made herself ready, and she was adorned in fine linen, pure and clean. And the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And that righteousness that is ours is that which God has imputed to us through our faith in Jesus Christ. I am clothed tonight not in my own righteousness. I do not dare to stand before God pleading my own goodness before Him. And I don't care how moral, how honest, how sincere, and how good a person you are. You're a fool if you seek to stand before God in your own goodness and in your own righteousness. You know, there are so many people that are just sort of good-natured people, like you have dogs that are good-natured and dogs that are bad-natured. There's some dogs that are just mean, you don't want to be around them. There's some people that are just mean, you don't want to be around them. They have peptic type of dispositions. Like their stomach is constantly upset or something. They're always growling, always on edge. And that person, as far as standing before God, is no worse off than the person who has, by nature, a very pleasant disposition, who is easygoing and calm. You know, we have phlegmatic, and we have different types of temperaments, and none of them really have any acceptance before God. The only way I can be accepted before God is to be clothed in that linen, pure and clean, which He has given to me, the righteousness which is of Christ through faith. Now, the difficulty is when a person does have a more of a problem with his disposition. He is usually more conscious and aware of his need for help. And he usually is coming to the Lord more readily. He's a sinner. He knows he's a sinner, and he knows he needs help. And he comes to the Lord quite readily. Whereas that person who is morally good, he's honest, he's sincere, you know, has all of these qualities. So often that person does not feel a need of coming to Jesus Christ. And thus is oftentimes much further from the Lord than the person who has a naturally miserable disposition. Which, of course, is a very interesting thing. A lot of good men go to hell, and a lot of bad men go to heaven. Because when you have that kind of a nature, you know, oh God, I need help, and you're coming to God for help. And the only way any of us could ever stand before God, surely not in our own righteousness, because our righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. So God takes, washes, anoints with oil, clothes, And then he said in verse 11, I deck thee also with ornaments. Put bracelets on thy hands, a chain on your neck, a jewel in your forehead, and earrings in your ears, and a beautiful tiara crown upon your head. I see these as the fruit of the Spirit, whose adorning, Peter said, let it not be the outward adorning by the wearing of fancy clothes and the putting on of jewelry and the fixing up of your hair, but that inward adornment of that meek and quiet spirit, which in the eyes of the Lord is all very, very valuable. And he speaks about the true beauty is not outward, but inward. The true beauty of a person is in the character of their lives. And the fruit of the Spirit, as God places this glorious jewels of meekness, temperance, long-suffering, goodness, love, joy, peace. And then God said, I've given you to eat the fine flour and honey and oil. And you were exceedingly beautiful, and you prospered into a kingdom. And your fame, your renown, went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. Throughout the world, they were talking of the beauty of the nation, of the people. The Queen of Sheba came from the south to see and to hear. And when she had been there with Solomon, she said, oh, I heard, but I did not believe, but now I have seen, and it was not told to me half of the glory of your kingdom. I blessed you. I honored you. I prospered you. You became famous, became renowned throughout among the heathen. They all heard of your beauty. For the Lord declared, for it was perfect. That is your beauty. Through my comeliness, which I have put on thee, saith the Lord. And so God works in us his work of the Spirit. And as God works in us by his Spirit, the purpose is to conform us into the image of Christ. And as God works in us by his Spirit, and as we are changed into the image of Christ, God looks at us and says, oh, you're perfectly beautiful. God sees you in Christ. And in Christ there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. God sees you complete in Christ. He sees you perfected in Christ. And he declares that you are perfect in beauty. Now, after all of this, God now charges them, but you did trust in your own beauty and you played the harlot because of your renown and you poured out your fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. That is, they turned away from God and they began to worship every god of all of the people that were round about. God said, you are mine. I'm the one that made this covenant with you. I purchased you. I'm the one that saved you. You were nothing. You were perishing. You were cast out. But I'm the one that rescued you and saved you and put my beauty on you. And now you've prostituted yourselves. And you've turned after every god, played the harlot, poured out your fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. And of thy garments you did take, and you decked your high places with divers colors. And you played the harlot thereupon. The like thing shall not come, neither shall it be so. For thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and my silver, which I had given thee, and you made unto yourself images of men, and you did commit whoredom with them. I prospered you. I gave you gold and silver. What did you do? You used it to make little images and idols, and you began to worship the gold and silver that I had blessed you with and prospered you with. How tragic it is when a person's life has been blessed of God and then they turn away from God and they begin to worship the gold and the silver that God has given to them, the possessions that God has given to them. And you took your broidered garments and you covered them, and you have set my oil and my incense before them. And my meat also, which I gave thee, the fine flour, the oil, the honey, wherewith I fed you, you have even set it before these little images as a sweet savor. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. You've taken those things that I have given, and you've profaned them.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Ezekiel 12 through 15 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you this week. May He watch over your lives and keep you in His love. May you abound in the love of Jesus Christ. May there just be that rich flowing forth in and from your life as God works in you His perfect work of love and grace. May God grant that you have just a special week of enjoying the goodness and the fullness of God in His life. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Pastor Greg Laurie.
Rarely does a man come along that literally changes a generation, but such a man came, and that man is here tonight, and his name is Chuck Smith. Yeah?
Join Pastor Greg in an exclusive interview with Pastor Chuck. Listen to rarely heard stories and memories in Chuck's own words about the events that influenced him and how he, in turn, influenced so many.
We have only one life and it'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last.
To order a copy of the special DVD with Greg Laurie and Chuck Smith, visit thewordfortoday.org or call 800-272-9673. Again, the number to call is 800-272-WORD.